good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington this Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
And I'm Dimiake Mwakalyelye.
Zimbabwe. And here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe features in U.S. presidential election politics.
The crippling crisis continues unabated. An economic expert helps Studio 7 break down the causes and effects.
But there's been encouragement by the central bank to say that people must now use the plastic money.
Zimbabwe cannot undertake a sincere and genuine post-conflict justice and healing program, warns a former commissioner with the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
Now that doesn't mean that the government shouldn't make money available, but I think that the point of this is that the commission itself should be able to fundraise money.
Although calm has returned to South Africa following yesterday's burning and looting of buses, tension still remains high.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
U.S. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton says her Republican rival Donald Trump will bring down the U.S. economy to its knees if he was elected president. The former Secretary of State delivered her first general election economic speech in Columbus, Ohio, Tuesday morning, in remarks that once again attempted to dismantle Trump's policy prescriptions and cast the businessman as a danger to the U.S. economy. Clinton referenced Zimbabwe's economy as an example of what Trump wants to do. Here's what she said.
Trump also says we can just print more money to pay our debt down. Well, we know what happened to countries that tried that in the past, like Germany in the 20s or Zimbabwe in the 90s. It drove inflation through the roof and crippled their economies. The American dollar is the safest currency on the planet. Why would he want to mess with that? And so,
that was U.S. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton giving her speech on her economic policies. Her rival, Republican challenger Donald Trump, today fired back, accusing Clinton of being the worst corrupt presidential candidate ever.
Although calm has returned to South Africa following yesterday's burning and looting of buses, tension remains high. The South African Broadcasting Corporation says two people were killed during the violence sparked by the nomination of a ruling African National Congress local government candidate. The government said the situation was now under control and would not require the deployment of the army.
Says the current cash shortages bedeviling the country are getting worse by the day as people continue to face challenges when they try to withdraw money from banks and automated teller machines, ATMs. Independent economic analyst Takudzwa Chisango, who is also the president of the Zimbabwe Business Coordination Campaign, says the problem stems from a high externalization of money, a development that has contributed to the cash crisis. Zimbabwe has been experiencing cash shortages for months, forcing banks to limit cash withdrawals, some to as little as $50 per day. Our reporter Jonga Kandemiri speaks with Chisango about the situation.
The issue with the current cash shortage is on the ground. The shortages are getting dire by the day, considering that people are now facing major challenges in terms of withdrawing their monies from the automated teller machines. But there's been encouragement by the central bank to say that people must now use the plastic money. But also, the use of plastic money, it is in line with the National Financial Inclusion Strategy, which was promulgated by the Central Bank Governor on his first half monetary policy statement in 2016.
What do you recommend should be done to make sure that things are brought back to normal?
The main problem that we're having is that there is high externalization of money within the Zimbabwean economy. And figures from the responsible authorities do concur that a lot of money has been taken or looted out from the country by various business people. And, you know, the Panama debt, which made headlines sometimes in the media. So that alone, it is a manifestation that as an economy or as a country, we are still having major problems in terms of illicit financial inflows. So if the central bank, in conjunction with the Ministry of Finance and Economic Development, are to come up with measures that can plug out those financial and illicit outflows of money, I think that would be a major step in the right direction to avert the problems of cash within the economy. And also going on the issue of exports, I think Zimbabwe is registering very paltry export receipts.
That was independent economic analyst and president of the Zimbabwe Business Coordination Campaign, Takuzwa Chisango, on the phone from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
While Zimbabwe is still to embark on its transitional justice journey from the pre-independence war to the upheavals after independence, following the withdrawal of the National Peace and Reconciliation Bill from Parliament, a former commissioner with the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission has warned. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa reports from Harare.
Speaking at a reconciliation dialogue convened by the National Transitional Justice Working Group, Center for Applied and Legal Research, and legislators, Yasmin Suka said, without guaranteed independence of the commission, Zimbabwe cannot undertake a sincere and genuine post-conflict justice and healing program. Suka said, without independence from politicians, the reconciliation process will not achieve the required justice and healing.
Look, in almost every country, the important thing is that what is written into the law is that the commission manages its own funds and is able to draft its own budget. Now, that doesn't mean that the government shouldn't make money available, but I think that the point of this is that the commission itself should be able to fundraise money. And that's usually from donors like the UN, in particular UNDP. Secondly, countries who are sympathetic to the kind of issues that are being dealt with by the NPRC. There's so much work that's been done. I think the national consultations have been absolutely critical in getting the views of people. But if one wants to realize the objective of setting up this commission, then the parliamentarians need to make sure that a report is published and that this report is sent to the appropriate authorities to get the issue back on the table.
Chairperson of the National Transitional Justice Working Group and prominent human rights lawyer, Alec Mchadehama, said the May withdrawal of the NPRC bill will further delay the healing process, which he said the country needs. Mchadehama said the group will continue to push for the reintroduction of the bill in Parliament.
From now onwards, as the group, we are going to engage or continue to engage various stakeholders. We are going to monitor where the bill is, because we heard that there may be some redrafting that is happening at the Attorney General's office. So we want to be able to engage the drafters, want to be able to engage the Vice President's office, want to be able to engage the members of the national organ, want to be able to engage even members of Parliament, so that at least we continue to monitor, we continue to push, we continue to propagate for the reintroduction of the bill back into Parliament, so that it is passed. But when it is passed, it must be passed in such a way that all what has been happening so far in terms of processes, but particularly the views of the people, and also other things that have come out, like international best practices, shadow bills that have been drafted, and all the things that make the bill to be the best that they can be, are taken into account. So that is the work that we are going to be carrying out from now onwards.
a transitional justice expert Tsikamai Bere told Studio 7 that the withdrawal of the bill from parliament will further delay the healing and reconciliation process, especially with the 2018 elections around the corner.
The effect of the withdrawal of the NPRC bill from parliament is that it is going to delay further the processes of activating or starting the work of the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission. This is very unfortunate because the NPRC, as Brian Crozier, one of the drafters of the Constitution, mentioned in yesterday's meeting, the NPRC has already lost 3 years, according to the Constitution. Now, it means as we are preparing for elections, our country is suffering. The parliamentary committees which conducted public hearings on the NPRC bill witnessed the amount of fear, the amount of intimidation, the amount of bitterness and violence which are still in our communities. And as we talk about the next elections, that fear comes back to haunt our population. It then becomes very important for the NPRC to hit the ground running and to start the process of reconciliating the nation. Now, if we are going to be delaying this process further, we are only doing harm to ourselves. This is a process that must not be delayed.
While legislators told the meeting that despite the public hearings of the bill that were carried out around the country, no report would be given because of the withdrawal of the bill, Bere urged the legislators to continue their reports and submit to the Attorney General offices, who are again recrafting the bill.
Parliamentarians saying that they have stopped producing a report of the public outreach or public hearings which they conducted on the NPRC bill. We think that they should continue producing that report, despite the fact that the bill has been withdrawn from Parliament. The reason why they should continue to produce this report is because resources have been put into this process, and members of the public responded sincerely to the call by the parliament to participate in these meetings. As far as they have invested their trust in this process, it is thus very important that these views be honored and that they be filed as the official report of the committees.
Senator Damian Mumvuri, chairperson of the Peace and Security Committee, one of the committees involved in the NPRC public hearing, said the legislators will consider the views from civic society. He also explained that Zimbabweans had rejected the bill.
In short, at the end of it all, we get an unfavorable response from the bill. People express their sentiments, first of all, based on the Parliamentary Legal Committee, which had given an adverse report before we went out. And this was echoed by the people in general, in all centers which where we went. They didn't accept the bill. Generally, provisions of the bill were at variance with the Constitution.
The NPRC bill, among other things, had several clauses that were ultra vires the Constitution, gave too many powers to the minister, thereby reducing the independent commission to a ministerial department, and whittled down the powers of the commission. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mudadigwa.
The nearly 60 Mandela Washington Fellows from Zimbabwe who arrived in the U.S. last week have started their studies in business and leadership at various institutions of learning. The youth, amongst them entrepreneurs, lawyers, and clean energy experts, will be here for 6 weeks. One of them, Golden Maunganize, a journalist and Tell Zim newspaper founder, tells Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo he is having a blast.
I'm feeling very excited. The program has kicked off very well. We are here at Kansas State University, Staley School of Leadership Studies, and everything has started very well. And it seems the program is well organized. The professors, the hosting institution was well prepared for us. Everything is flowing on well, and I'm sure we are going to learn a lot, and we are going to have great experiences while we are here in Kansas.
What's the one most important thing that you have learned so far?
The most important thing that I have learned so far is about leadership communication. This is a new thing that I think is very critical, where we can use your communication skills to make things happen, development happen. And I've also seen that through leadership communication and also through leadership studies, you are not leadership is not about being in front or taking position, but it's about moving together with the group, not necessarily rushing for a position or to be in a position that maybe you say I'm a leader, but going together for the positive development, that's or influencing development, that's leadership.
Mandela Washington Fellow and journalist Golden Maunganidze on the line from the state of Kansas. Another Yali Fellow, Annette Moyo, a doctor, says she has started picking important aspects about good leadership.
The fellowship is great. I am at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, and it's beautiful. The people are lovely. The place has a very rich history, and it's evident in the buildings, it's evident in the people. When you talk to them, everybody is aware of how their history has brought them to where they are, which I think is something that we Africans need to learn from. And the people are warm. The university has received us very well. They have done two reception dinners for us so far, and the academic program has begun in earnest. And we it's only been 2 days, but we are learning things that are amazing that I think we had not yet experienced previously.
And what are some of those new lessons?
Well, yesterday we had our introduction to civic leadership, and we started with being introduced to different leadership styles and how they are relevant to different eras and different situations. I came with the fear that my leadership style may soon become irrelevant when we have achieved the objective, for example, for which I started my organization. But I realized that I can actually develop many different styles that are relevant to different situations and engage them as in every situation requires me to. And it's something that I had not previously known, and I am very excited to be tapping into this kind of knowledge.
Mandela Washington Fellow and Dr. Annette Moyo on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from the city of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania.
We're going now to regional and international news.
A ceasefire between Nigeria's government and a militant group that's claimed responsibility for a series of crippling attacks on the oil infrastructure may be on shaky ground.
Forces loyal to Libya's new national unity government in Tripoli have reportedly made gains inside the Islamic State-held coastal city of Sirte, while forces loyal to the rival government in Tobruk says they have pushed back al-Qaeda militants in Benghazi.
A 120-year-old prison with a controversial history in the northeastern U.S. city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is being prepared to hold protesters who are arrested during the Democratic Convention next month. Zimbabweans in the diaspora have been urged to take advantage of the current prevailing situation in the country to secure residential properties and stands at it as it is now a buyer's market. In our diaspora forum today, we speak to the chief executive officer of HomeLink, Mrs. Stella Chorwira, who was at the recently ended Women of Dominion International Conference held in Delaware in the United States, where a grouping of interdenominational women of faith held a four-day conference. Chorwira says HomeLink also offers money transfer services through EasyLink, projects and real estate investment, short-term loans and mortgages financed for those in the diaspora. Chorwira spoke to us earlier on HomeLink and what it has to offer.
HomeLink is meant to assist Zimbabweans in the diaspora by providing services and products for their needs.
What kind of services do you provide for those in the diaspora?
Currently, we are offering money transfer services. We are also into mortgage financing. We also offer facilities where we can assist you managing your properties at home by collecting your rentals and depositing them in an account, or you advise us how you want to utilize the rentals and we'll do accordingly.
What is the relationship between the Reserve Bank and Homelink?
Homelink is a private registered company, but wholly owned by the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe.
But Samuel asked that this is a very tricky time to be doing business in Zimbabwe, looking at the state of the economy. How will somebody who utilizes your services be able to get their money out of Zimbabwe if they need it wherever they are?
This also depends with the bank you are using. There are priorities which have been given to the banks as to how funds are remitted outside Zimbabwe. The law does not forbid remitting rental money outside Zimbabwe. So depending with your bank and the priorities which are in line with your bank, you can still remit money outside Zimbabwe if you apply. All you need is to do a formal application through your bank.
Tell us about the money transfer business. Where would someone be able to use your facilities and what is it called?
You can use, if you send your money using Western Union from outside Zimbabwe, then you receive your money through any of our 29 outlets which are in Zimbabwe. And these are branded as EasyLink money transfer agencies. If you are in the cities, you will mostly find them within OK Supermarket. But we also have standard loan branches.
And also you were talking about property development. What properties do you have that Zimbabweans in the diaspora can benefit from right now? How can people in the diaspora take advantage of this current challenge facing Zimbabwe?
Currently, as Homelink, we have a development in Tinwald where we have serviced 181 stands, and these stands are now up for sale. You can then decide to buy your stand, pay for your stand over a period of 5 years, then start constructing thereafter. Or you can still buy your stand and start constructing immediately. We will be giving you funding to purchase the stand and for the construction. If you are interested in a finished product, you can then go into the market, identify a property which we can then assist you purchase, and then you repay over a period of 10 years at an interest rate of 10%. This is a special interest rate for people in the diaspora because, as you are aware, interest rates in the market currently in Zimbabwe prevailing are between 14% and 20%.
What are the price ranges like for some of these residential stands? Should some people in the diaspora be interested in purchasing some?
Stands varying from about 300 square meters are ranging from about 19,000, depending with the size of stand, because they go as far as 1,500 square meters, where you are likely to purchase a stand around the 38-40s.
And also, you are here in the United States. What brings Homelink to the United States?
We came on invitation from Women of Dominion. This is a group of Zimbabwean ladies who invited us.
And how would you say you were received? Tell us a little bit about this visit.
We were very well received. We benefited spiritually and business-wise. There were a lot of questions from the Zimbabweans. And what we liked about this group, they are very supportive about development at home.
And should some people in the diaspora want to utilize your services, where do they find you?
They can go on our website, which is www.homelinkzim.com.
And then you said you also have a desk that's specifically for people in the diaspora. Tell us a little bit about that.
We have a desk which is manned by a lady called Noctula Nyati. This particular desk is specific just for the diaspora and outside Zim.
And how do they get in touch with Noctula Nyati?
Her email address is nyati@homelinkzim.co.zw. Also, inquiries@homelink.com.
That was the Chief Executive Officer of Homelink, Mrs. Stella Chorwira, speaking with Studio 7 from North Carolina here in the United States.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chioneso Jani, your one and only host on Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Our gospel artist who's with us right now, and his name is Simba Chikonye.
Hello, hello. How are you, Zimbabwe? How are you, world?
I was listening to your music and, you know, bounce. Being a rapper in diaspora, how are you marketing your product?
I've been rapping for a long time, though, since I was like 13. It's an interesting story. I'll tell you about it. But this is where I met the people I work with now for my album. A gentleman from Tanzania who's based in Spain and another gentleman from Mauritania. I met up with these guys here by fate. We've been working together making music. In terms of marketing my music, I use Facebook, my page Lamborghini the MC.
Simba, tell me, why is it that we have only English songs on your album?
I have like a belief. Firstly, I'm singing for Zimbabwe, but I'm also singing for the world, and the language everyone understands is English. And secondly, I believe that our country is trilingual, at least the three main languages, Shona, English, and Ndebele. You fill up any important form in Zimbabwe, parliament, Shona, English, and Ndebele. So I feel like as a citizen of Zimbabwe, using any one of these languages doesn't make any person any less Zimbabwean. It's just a choice of which language to use. So kind of weird when people say, he should use other languages as well. And I'm like, but when we're at school, this is what we're taught from the time we're kids. Heck, Zimbabweans learn two languages at the same time, Shona and English, or Ndebele and English. Or in my case, I was fortunate to learn Ndebele, English, and Shona at the same time. It's part of what makes a Zimbabwean Zimbabwean. And it's part of what makes us so marketable to the world and so able to go wherever in the world and conquer. One of the things I'm very proud of about being Zimbabwean.
Okay, your final word to the youth, what would it be?
Seek ye first the kingdom and everything will be added. Thank you so much for having me. It's appreciated.
And that was Simba Rasha Chikonye. This is Chioneso Johnny, and I am your favorite host for Time to Engage.
Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, what we see and don't sight, be I believe in Jesus, his only son, the way, the truth, and the light, the chosen one. I believe it, died and rose like the sun on the third day. I suppose you know this, huh? If you don't, then it's
that was Chioneso Johnny there. Time to engage. Moving on now. The MDCT today asked Parliament to stop local government minister Xavier Kasukuwere from fast-tracking the controversial local government amendment bill before the public hearings that are currently underway in Matabeleland provinces have been completed. Ivan Chifera has the details from Harare.
Yesterday, Kasukuwere asked Parliament's National Assembly to suspend Parliament's standing rules and orders relating to the passage of bills so that he could fast-track the bill through Parliament. MDCT Chief Whip and Member of the Parliamentary Legal Committee, or PLC, Innocent Gonese, said he was surprised to see Kasukuwere's motion on the order paper saying the PLC had not met to consider the bill. He said he was shocked to hear that the PLC had issued a non-adverse report on the bill, when in fact the MDCT members on the PLC, him and Jesma Jome, had not attended the meeting which purportedly took place yesterday. The other members of the PLC are Ziyambi Ziyambi, Jonathan Samkange, and Fortune Chasi, all from ZANU-PF. Majome is away conducting public hearings on the bill in Matabeleland. Gonese said he and Majome were not given a chance to give their opinion as required by parliamentary rules and regulations.
We were not given that opportunity, myself and Honorable Majome, who have a different opinion to that which has been expressed by some of the other members of the committee. We must do things properly.
He therefore said because Parliament's standing rules and orders were flouted, the motion must be rejected.
I'm actually proposing that motion should be expunged from the order paper. It is in bad taste, it is undemocratic, and we cannot allow it.
Deputy Speaker Mabel Chinomona, who was standing in for Speaker Jacob Mudenda, promised to consult Parliament staff before making a ruling on Gonese's request. Political commentator and media center director Ernest Mudzengi condemned the move by Minister Kasukuwere, saying while the public's view is critical, Kasukuwere's moves reflect the ZANU-PF government's contempt of citizens.
When you take a bill to the people, you are seeking people's views. But when you attempt to railroad that bill through parliament, when people are still to say their views, then it shows that you have little regard, if any, for democratic processes.
Meanwhile, another opposition lawmaker, James Maridadi, asked Parliament to charge Information, Communication, Technology and Courier Services Minister Superman Duanzira for inferring that the ICT committee had colluded with suspended Net1 Managing Director Reward Kangai to tarnish his image.
That was Ivan Chifera reporting there. Before we go, a quick reminder, stay tuned at 8:30 p.m. There'll be live talk. Today we're talking about a very important issue that all of you can relate to, the crippling cash crisis. Make sure you join in.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington.
And I'm Dimyake Mokalierie here in Washington, wishing you a very good evening and a very, very good night.